Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you even for these challenging bits. And we ask, Father, that as we read what Jesus says to us, that you would help us to be challenged. We pray that by your Spirit you would give us ears that listen and hear, hearts that are receptive to change, and that by your Spirit you would indeed change us to live lives that glory Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Approval. Approval. We all seek approval, don't we? When I was working for the state government, my manager told me about this research about people who change jobs. And she said that the research showed that people were actually less likely to move jobs if they felt that they were appreciated in their role in their current job. They were not easily swayed by money or benefits, though I'm sure that those things played their part. You see, for them, approval was more important than money. Though I'm sure there's a dollar amount where that probably changed. But nonetheless, the research showed that approval was more important than money. And I think it's the same in other areas. We all seek approval. I'm sure many of us can think back to a word that was said to us, a word of approval given by parents or friends or those we admire, those words we treasure. All people seek approval. In fact, I think it's in our makeup to seek approval. But first and foremost, we're made to seek approval from God. We long to please our Creator. And though we're built to long for approval, it can be a dangerous thing when we seek it from the wrong place. In our passage today, Jesus speaks here of the danger of seeking approval from other places when doing things to please God. And there are many ways where we can do the same thing. Doing things in obedience to our Heavenly Father, but really doing it to approve, get the approval from those around us. So it's quite a pertinent passage for us, a challenging passage for us. So let's listen to what Jesus has to say and listen to the warning that Jesus gives about acts of righteousness. Have a look there at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus here is warning about their acts of righteousness, that is, their righteous conduct, doing things that God deems as right and good, things done to please him. But the danger that Jesus points out is that some are doing them before others in order to be seen by them. They're doing them so that others notice them, so that it can get praise from others, get their approval. Now, of course, as we get into this, you can still do things to please others. It's right to be thanked and appreciated for doing stuff. But the context here, of course, is acts of righteousness, the things they do for God. Now, these acts are good things to do. The problem Jesus is outlining is motive. They do these things for human approval, which, if you think about it, is a bit strange, isn't it? Actions done for God to gain human approval. It sort of makes them sort of useless. And the warning that Jesus gives them is that they will lose their reward from their Father in heaven if they do things with this motive, in this way. So I guess it raises the question for us, what's the reward? What's the reward they'll lose? Now, the concept of a future blessing that's coming from God has already been raised in Matthew. At the start of chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, it talks about this future coming blessing. Now, the reward could be referring to salvation offered by God. And Jesus saying that if people live in a way to please people rather than God, then they will lose out on their heavenly reward of salvation. Now, as long as we don't read that as Jesus saying that people earn their salvation by their righteous acts, but if he's saying, which I don't think he's saying, but if we read it as him saying people are saved and so they live to please God, and if they don't live to please God, then it shows they're not saved. Well, that's true, isn't it? The fruit, show your heart, Jesus will tell us. But I don't think that's what's on view here. Though that is true, I don't think that's what the reward is here. In the context, Jesus describing people who are seeking approval from others. And Jesus says that human approval is the reward they receive. And so I think, in the context, that reward that Jesus is speaking about is the heavenly reward, is approval from God. As Jesus will put it in Matthew 25, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness." The reward that they will lose is the warm approval of their heavenly Father, the one that they're doing these religious things for. And if they do them for other people and lose that heavenly reward, then their effort in doing these religious things is a waste, isn't it? Might as well not have done them. This is a warning that we do well to listen to. But there's many areas, I think, where we can slip into the same problem. And Jesus goes on to give three examples, which might seem like they're just saying the same thing three times, but I think there are some nuances. So we're going to learn lots from them as we look at them. So let's have a look at these three examples. First, he gives the example of helping the needy, verse 2. "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Jesus' warning focuses around these hypocrites. Later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will call the religious elite hypocrites. So we have a sense of who he's talking to here. He's kind of using the example of those religious elite at the time of Jesus. And they're those who seem to do the right thing, but they're insincere in their action, doing righteous actions, but not with the right motive. And so Jesus is warning these people, some perhaps in the crowd. He wants to reveal their heart to them so that they might change. And what do these hypocrites do in giving to the needy? Well, they make a big deal of it when they give to those in need so that people will honour them for their generosity. It's kind of like when people give those enormous checks to charity. I always wonder how you might cash them in, but you know, they're making a statement, aren't they? "I'm doing this great deed, giving to charity, but I do want the check to be visible by the cameras that glory me as I do it. Just how good am I?" Jesus says that these hypocrites have received their reward in full. Human praise is what they want, and so human praise is all they get. No further reward from God. Which is so sad when you think about it. One of the main reasons that they're caring for the needy is because God's called them to do it. Their action is supposed to be for God, but actually it goes ignored by him because of their heart. Jesus goes on to explain what his followers should do instead, and he demands secrecy. There's that crazy image of not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing and being unaware of one another. The point is, so secret are your good deeds. He's trying to make a point, isn't he? But your heavenly Father sees what happens in secret, and he will reward. In effect, I think Jesus is telling them to protect themselves from themselves. Protect your heart from being tempted to seek the approval of people. Do it in secret so only God knows. And so for us, I reckon the danger might be letting everyone know when we've done something good for others. When we've looked after someone who's struggling, sharing how you were such a good friend. Just, you know, caring for that person. And I think the place that we can struggle most with this, as well as the next two categories, is social media. It feels icky, I think, to praise ourselves in front of others. But to post a picture of the care package you've made to give to somebody, it's a bit easier to do, isn't it? Remember, the deed isn't bad, it's good, but the motive is off. So Jesus tells us, do the good deed, just don't tell everybody. You don't need to tell everybody, because your heavenly Father sees, and he will reward you. Good and faithful servant. The second example is prayer. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The hypocrites love to pray to be seen by others. They want to be noticed. They want to do the religious thing, I think, to impress others. Just how great a Jew am I? That's what the hypocrites are doing. Like the Pharisee in one of Jesus' later parables, who prays so that all can hear. Thank God that I'm not like other people, these sinners around me. Or perhaps doing it in a praying with long and flowery prayers that actually seek to impress others. And again, they have received their reward in full. They did it to impress others, and others are presumably impressed, but God's not. Again, Jesus instructs his disciples, pray in secret, in their room. Now, a commentary I read said that what Jesus has in mind is like an inner room, like a storeroom, a room with no windows where no one can see what you're doing. Pray in there. And in this hidden and secret place, their Heavenly Father hears their secret prayer, and he will reward them. Now, Jesus goes on to teach more about prayer, and we'll look at that more next week. But in sum, they're to pray not as pagans, not as these hypocrites, but as those who have an intimate relationship with God as their Father, the creator and ruler of the world, who upholds his children. It's a little taster for next week, so I'll see you all then to get the rest of it. But what might this look like for us, this prayer stuff? Well, I want to suggest this might connect with all the kind of Christian things that we do and how we share what we do so that others are impressed by how good Christians we are, how godly and righteous we are. It might look like the humble brag or the, you know, well, in God's kindness, pride's not something I struggle with. Or again, on the social media. The Instagram pic of the, you know, the coffee and your Bible where you let everyone know just how divine your quiet time is. You've carved out this lovely time because you're just so holy and amazing while others are struggling through their quiet time on the bus to work. Can't really get the camera out to take a picture. Now remember, the problem's not the action but the heart that goes with it. For instance, let's just start with public prayer. Is this passage telling us to never pray in public? I actually had a person come and ask me about this when I was on campus doing ministry. We were about to have our main meeting, and so a group of us who were involved in organising were standing outside in the uni praying for the meeting in a little huddle. And this guy, random guy, came and asked to join us. He wasn't religious but was curious. And so we prayed in front of him, awkward as it was. And afterwards he asked me, doesn't the Bible say something about not praying in public? How does this work? And so I got a chance to look at the passage with him, actually. See, the problem isn't the public prayer. The problem is doing it to be seen by others. Praying or doing anything like this to impress others with your super godliness. Doing things in public to serve others and please God are good things to do. If you're involved in those sort of things, keep doing them. Jesus is warning us, do them to serve God for his glory, not your own. And I want to flesh out three implications, I think, for us from this. First, if you're one who yearns to serve in upfront ways, who really longs to be up here on the stage in front of these very hot spotlights, be careful. Our hearts are devious. And if you yearn for that, perhaps serving in this way could be dangerous for you. So guard yourself, as Jesus says. Perhaps for a time, look for ways to serve where it's hidden and not seemingly impressive. Cleaning up after church, serving in the creche, being the person to welcome the newcomer, catching up with people in the week to encourage them, or praying for your brothers and sisters. These are all valuable ways to serve, if not as impressive as leading the service or praying or preaching. Second, if you are one who does these public things, put in place things to guard your heart. Remind yourself of why you do it. Seek praise from God for a job well done, rather than praise from others. This is a pertinent one for me as I stand up here preaching. A real deep danger I feel in preaching is a desire to impress you with how clever I am and how wonderful I understand the Bible and so on. It's a fool's errand, I know. You're a hard to impress crowd. But I heard of a thing that John Piper does. As he's a, for those who don't know, he's an American preacher. He's a very gifted preacher and teacher of God's word. As he steps down from preaching, he prays in his heart that God would get the glory from all he said. He's put into place something to protect his heart, hasn't he? Perhaps if you're one who serves in public ways like this, that you could incorporate something like this for when you serve in that public way. And then do what you're going to do to the best of your ability for your Father's approval. Third, sometimes we can look at those who serve in public and we can wrongly assume that maybe they're just doing it for glory. They seem like one of these show-offs. Just a reminder, we don't know their heart often. And so instead of judging others who have to do, you know, who do these public things, pray for them. Thank God for them and the way they serve us. Pray for their heart that it would be guarded. In all the ways that we live out our Christian lives, serving and loving others as God would have us, publicly or privately, guard your heart. And know that your Heavenly Father sees your heart. Well done, good and faithful servant. The final example Jesus gives is fasting. Verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. The hypocrites disfigure their faces in order to show that they're fasting. They deny themselves in fasting for their spiritual good. That's what they're doing. But then they need to make sure that everyone knows what they've done. Everyone needs to know how much hardship they've been through with this denial. They need to know just how hardcore these guys are with their fasting. Kind of like complaining how sore you are after some exercise to impress others. You know, my legs are pretty sore today. Shouldn't have outrun the whole running group yesterday. Obviously, that's not one that I use, but you might use it. These have received their reward in full. You know what? They should have just eaten the food. Instead, Jesus says his disciples are to put on oil and wash their face. The equivalent of cleaning yourself up and making yourself presentable, shaving your face, putting on makeup, dressing well. They're to hide the fact that they're denying themselves and enduring hardship for God, rather than broadcast just how hardcore they are. And even though the effort put into living for God is unseen, their Father, who is unseen, sees, and he will reward. How does this apply for us? Well, I'm not going to talk about whether or not we should fast today. That's not really Jesus' point, though you may want to ask a question in question time. The point Jesus is making is whether we are seeking to impress others by broadcasting the hardships we face to serve God. where we try to let people know that we're really tough and hardcore Christians. And I wonder if we do this by complaining, making ourselves out to be martyrs, because you know what, we're really so hardcore. Complaining how we've had that really busy weekend, but we're still here to serve at church. Or the fact that you're so tired from all those early wake-ups so you can read 50 chapters of the Bible. Now let me be clear, pouring yourself out and enduring hardships to serve and love others, or denying yourself to grow in your Christian walk, are not bad things to do. Nor even is it bad to share things with others about how they've been a struggle. But if you're complaining about how hard it is, really to boast, to impress others, complaining to let people know just how hardcore you are so that they might praise you, that's the problem. So the solution? Keep it to yourself. Jesus says, put oil on your head so no one knows about your fasting. Keep the hardship to yourself. Don't complain about it to others to get their praise or impress them. And your Father who sees what you've done in secret, who knows about the hardships you've endured, will reward you. Good and faithful servant. Now in each of these examples, Jesus is making the same point, isn't he? Do things not for the approval of others, but in a way that you will be approved by God. In all these examples, Jesus is encouraging his followers to live for God in a way that seeks his approval, not others' approval. And you know what? That can be hard because we don't get that immediate response of approval from God. Which is why I think we often find ourselves turning to people for praise, to scratch that itch. But as those who live in Christ, the great news is that we are already approved by God. Christ is the one who lives his righteous life for the glory of God and God's approval. And we see the way that God approves of Christ. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. That's what God says of Jesus. And Jesus has received the reward from his heavenly Father. He's been approved by God as the righteous one, raised to life, to be rightly honoured by all. In essence, the Father approving Jesus as he raises him to be glorified. And so as we come to Christ and put our faith in him, we are also approved by God. He sees us as he sees Christ. We are declared righteous. We are approved by God in Christ. This means that we have this heavenly reward already. We are approved by our Heavenly Father in Christ. So we don't need to scrounge around for approval for others when we do things for God. Rather, we live as God's, the Father's, already approved children, doing what pleases him out of love. Not doing all these things to somehow earn his approval. Don't need to earn it, we already have it. We rather do it in order to please him. We are already approved of in Christ, and we live to bring a smile to our Heavenly Father's face, longing for the day when we will hear him say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, let's do what pleases our Heavenly Father to please him, knowing that we already have his approval in Christ. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, please forgive us for the ways that we have sought praise from others when we should be seeking your approval. We thank you that you have approved of us in Christ. Please help us now to live in a way that seeks your approval rather instead of the approval of others. Protect our hearts. Help us to do what we need to ensure that we are seeking your praise, not the praise of others. And give us an eager expectation of that day which is coming when we will hear those precious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.